Now, I'm delighted to welcome Margaret Mills. Now, Margaret is also, like Carl Merry, going to introduce us to some new Essex tales. Now, Margaret, what have you got lined up for your first tale?
My first tale today is about Ingate Stone Hall. And I think a lot of people probably have visited Ingate Stone Hall, just outside the village of Ingate Stone, obviously, in Essex. It's got a very long and interesting history.
And does the tale actually have a title?
Well, I've given it my own title, and my title is The Two Ghostly Presences of Ingate Stone Hall.
Well, in which case, we shall look forward to meeting the two ghostly presences. Thanks, Margaret. Off you go.
Thank you very much. Well, at Ingate Stone Hall, we get two ghosts for the price of one admission, which I think is pretty good going. The first ghost that is reported to haunt the outer courtyard of Ingate Stone Hall. So when you visit the hall, when you've had your conducted tour, and you exit the hall in the courtyard, watch out very carefully for the ghost of the lady. Now, who is the lady? Well, she's reputed to be Lady Catherine Grey. Lady Catherine Grey was the younger sister of Lady Jane Grey, the Nine Days Queen, who we all knew about and we've all studied in history at school. Catherine committed the terrible sin of marrying without the permission of Queen Elizabeth I. This was in round about 1562. And in those days, for a member of the aristocracy to marry without the permission of the reigning monarch, well, it just wasn't done. And Elizabeth I vented her spleen on Lady Catherine by having Lady Catherine removed from her husband's home and taken to Ingate Stone Hall to spend a little bit of time there, cooling her heels and being reminded of the error of her ways. The Queen thought that perhaps a spell with the Peter family at Ingate Stone Hall would allow her time to reflect and time to think about what allegiance she owed the monarch. And it was a bit of a slap wrist syndrome, if you like. Lady Catherine actually was very happy at Ingate Stone Hall, which probably upset Elizabeth I, because the whole idea was that she was sent there as a punishment. Didn't work out like that. The problem was, as soon as Elizabeth I realised that it really wasn't working out as she'd hoped, and that far from being very contrite for what she'd done, Lady Catherine was quite enjoying her seclusion at Ingate Stone Hall. So Elizabeth decided that Catherine should move on somewhere else for another spell in solitary confinement. And the place that she chose was Cockfield Hall in Suffolk. So sadly, Lady Catherine was forced to leave Ingate Stone, where she'd become very friendly with the Peter family, very happy with living with the family in residence there, and moved to Suffolk, where she knew no one and obviously didn't really want to go there. Unfortunately, she wasn't in Suffolk for very long before she died. We don't know what she died of, and we don't know that there was anything sinister in her death. It certainly has never been proved that it was Elizabeth I taking a little bit of revenge, but in any event, she died, and her ghost is said to haunt Ingate Stone Hall, the place where she'd been so very happy.
Now, I'm surprised that she doesn't haunt the place that she died in. And what about the second ghost? You said there were two.
There are two ghosts. The second ghost is a bishop. He's Bishop Benjamin, who was a member of the Peter family, one of the cousins of the Lord Peter of the time. And the time was round about 1732-ish. Benjamin Peter was a regular visitor to Ingate Stone Hall, staying with his cousins, and he was walking in what's still known to this day as the Lime Walk Anyone who's visited Ingatestone and who's been out into the grounds will know where the lake is. And running parallel with the lake is a rather sinister-looking avenue of lime trees. On the hottest day, it's still very cool and dark and shady down there, just the sort of place that you could imagine a ghost appearing. Bishop Benjamin was walking in the lime walk, saying his prayers, as a good bishop should, when suddenly he was accosted, or so we're told, by a band of robbers who'd broken into the grounds of the hole with the idea of eventually breaking into the house and stealing valuables and silver plate and so on. But before they got a chance to do that, coming across Bishop Benjamin, they obviously thought that they might as well assault and rob him before moving on to the house, which is exactly what they did. Bishop Benjamin was looking, things were not looking good for Bishop Benjamin, when suddenly, from nowhere, appeared his dog. His trusty dog came flying down the path, rushing towards the robbers, and effectively scared them off. And they very quickly decamped from the grounds and never even got as far as moving on to the house and robbing the house. And so Bishop Benjamin was saved by his own dog. Now, in years to come, long after the death of Bishop Benjamin, and obviously long after the death of Bishop Benjamin's dog, people in the Victorian era, around about 1850-ish, first reported hearing the sounds of a dog barking in the lime walk. Looking for a dog, they could find no trace of one. And it's also said that a shadowy figure was walking down the lime walk, and we can only speculate whether that was actually Bishop Benjamin as well. But certainly the ghostly dog who barks but never appears has been reported many times at Ingatestone Hall. So maybe the ghostly dog is still protecting Bishop Benjamin.
Thanks very much indeed, Margaret. Well, that's a start. You started in style with this one. What have you got for us next week?
Next week, I'm going to be talking about the corpse candles of Thaxted.
Goodness me. Okay, thank you very much.